The following programming is sponsored by Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, you can't hang around.
Good morning and welcome to Our House here at WWDB. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and hopefully here to entertain you, enlighten you, and inform you over the next hour with today's show, which I call a mishmash of a bunch of information. Rates are going to be going up again. This is so crazy. We're going to see another hike in interest rates. I'm going to fill you in on what's going on in the market with our contractors and lumber and things like that. But I want to remind you that the lines are always open here at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook under Home Improvement Fix and Facts, where many times people instant message me with questions that they have either during the show or upcoming shows. So I want to make that clear. Over the past 2 weeks, I've been talking about an upcoming interview with Jerry Conter, the chairman of the National Association of Home Builders, NAHB, and Congressman Lloyd Schmucker. Well, here's the funny thing of all of this. We ended up having to do a record because we couldn't connect the way we wanted to connect. And through the technology of radio, nothing that happened here on Beasley's end at all. But when we got our MP3 or MP4, whichever one they sent me, I don't remember, none of my audio was there, none of my questions. So it's making it really hard for me to bring you that interview that I did. But I promise you that interview will be coming because we were really exploring the facts behind the ongoing housing affordability crisis that we're going to see continue over the next several months or longer. And so that's really important. But I wanted to let you know, I keep talking about them and we will have that interview. I just have to re-pull up my questions that I asked these guys and make sure that we can put that together. And through the wonderful technology of my production manager, Wes, we will work on that and get that straightened out over the next week or so. So I just wanted to remind you that I didn't forget that I was going to be bringing that to you, but we will definitely be doing that. I wanted to also let you know about next week's upcoming show, because we are going to be talking to Joyce Brewer, who is going to help us put together our home improvement first aid kit for all of you contractors and DIYers out there, and even the DDIYers that we coined last week, don't do it yourself. My husband picked up on that right away. He thought that was hysterical. We want to give you some tips and some things that you should keep either in your contracting truck or, you know, whatever you have or close at hand. So we're going to delve into that a little bit just to keep you on track. And I have something really fun, little bit off the beaten trail next week, but I have the opportunity, you know, you've heard of all these Wes, this is where you can help me again because Carol's brain doesn't always work. The science wizards, the science guy.
Bill Nye?
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yes, Bill Nye, the science guy. There's been some controversy over him over the years. And so now we're going to be talking to a younger generation and we're going to meet Mr. Fascinate, Justin Schaefer. And it's really crazy because right here in Philadelphia area, we had some local winners And I want to bring them to you, and I want to talk about them next week. We're going to have that opportunity. And the reason why Mr. Fascinate is taking over for Bill Nye, the science guy, because some of these kids designed some amazing technology that really fits into the home improvement aspect of things that we talk about here on the show. And the fact that there's only a handful of winners across the United States, and to know that several of those local winners came right from our Philadelphia area, has me super stoked. I don't want to give you any tips on some of their amazing inventions, but Justin Schaefer, you can find him with TED Talks. He talks on TED Talks all the time. I love TED Talks. You familiar with them, Wes?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they have some cool stuff. So I can't wait. His goal, Justin's goal is to be for STEM what ESPN is for sports. So for our younger generation, I think this is really a time to inspire young people to embrace their inner nerd. And I think you guys are really going to want to listen to what we have to say next week. Those are two really good topics. And then before you know it, we're going to be up on our next holiday, Father's Day. So we're going to be bringing you over the next couple weeks some cool Father's Day gifts and some fun interviews with some experts on what we think dads like for DIYers and all of that stuff. So that's going to be some fun stuff that we have coming up. So I'd love to share that because I want you guys to listen, and I love when you put your questions in there. And I actually got one this morning, knowing that today is going to be like 98 degrees. So I'm going to read Carly Rodriguez's comments or questions that she sent to me. And again, this is easy stuff, but I think people like to engage with my show, even though they can look all this stuff up themselves. I think they like to, you know, hear their names and like to engage and listen. So I love that about all you listeners out there. So just remember, you can go to Home Improvement Fix and Facts on Facebook or Instagram. You can send me your messages. You can check on what's going on. You can also go right to the WWDB website, and you can click on any of my home improvement shows that we have done in the past. So I think that's really interesting. If you've missed something or you want some extra information, this is a great place to do it, to, you know, go to the website and check out what's there, because there's always good stuff. So before we get into part of what today's topic is going to be, I just want to let you know lumber prices have been falling. They are at a new low after last Thursday's existing home sale data has been showing, and we're seeing a slowdown in the housing market. As we know, it's because interest rates are rising. This is something to counter comment on the previous host show. Trump didn't want to raise interest rates. He wanted those rates low. He was doing everything in his power to make it beneficial for him and his businesses and rich people. And so now we're finding that we have to raise the interest rates, and it's we've got to do it carefully. But lumber futures fell as much as 6% to below $700 per thousand footboard. It's the lowest level since November, according to data from FinZes, which is a insider news group that tracks all this. And also the National Association of Realtors is also saying that while the supply of homes is slowly, very slowly on the rise, home prices are still moving higher, but at a much slower pace. And so the median existing home sale prices increased 14.8% year over year, with average house prices in the $350,000 range. That's pretty huge. Not everybody can afford that. And even higher, like I tell you every week, I'm still shocked. But lumber, what is really cool about lumber is the weakness in lumber can be attributed to the sharp rise in mortgage rates, which still remain above 5%, even though Last week we saw a retreat of some of those mortgage rates. We're going to see another increase. So you're still finding interest rates for mortgages below 5%, but they're going to go away real quick. So we're seeing that lumber is dropping in price, which is really a cool thing to know right now with what is happening in the industry. Futures fell, like I said, 6%, and existing home sales fell for the third straight month in going back to April to its lowest level since the start of the pandemic. And supply still remains a little bit limited. So be careful when you're out there. I think it's still a seller's market. You know, they say seller's market, buyer's market, but I think sellers still have the upper hand because the mortgages aren't out there the way they were before and because of supply and demand. So we'll take a look at this. We're likely to return to pre-pandemic home sales activity sometime during this year after, you know, this big surge that we had the past 2 years. So we can expect to see some changes. First-time home buyers represented the largest share of home transactions in April at 28%, and all cash sales of homes? Cash sales accounted for 26% of home transactions last month, while individual investors or second home buyers purchased 17% of homes, according to data from NAR. So we're going to see the surge in mortgage rates. We're going to see the tight housing market supply is putting overall pressure on the essential building commodities that we typically see as a seasonal boost at this time of year. But recent comments from home builders and surveys show that demand could continue to fall for homes and therefore lumber we're going to see the lumber starting to drop, and we're seeing it already as home buyers are having trouble trying to stomach those higher mortgage rates that are out there. So we will see a decrease in lumber. It's slow coming, but we're definitely going to see that happening. I'm finding availability for things like your decking, which is a big project that people like to take on, are more readily available. We are not having the wait period that we had this time last year, waiting 2 and 3 months just to get our composite materials and our lumber in. So that is definitely good news on the market. On the other hand, after talking to quite a few contractors and listening to what's going on, they are still busy. They are still pumping. They are rocking and rolling. They still need help, but they're starting to forecast their future work, and they're starting to see a little bit of a slowdown. And this is after talking to a couple different contractors and even looking at my husband's schedule. He's booked. I mean, he's booked straight through to September, as many contractors are, but they're not seeing that huge burst that was happening where people had to wait 6 and 7 months just to be able to start a project. I will still recommend to all of you out there that are doing projects, there is still time lags and delays on materials. If you're doing doors and windows, there don't schedule something to be done until you've ordered and you've gotten a good time increase. And I say this from experience to what we're dealing with on our side of the home building industry is aluminum is still hard to get. There are still components that go into doors, windows, plumbing, etc., that are still lagging behind. Remember, we're still having issues with China and getting things exported. So we are seeing that some of these things that we want right away still are not happening. So my advice, and this is advice to all of you out there, if you are getting ready to start a home project, before you can really commit to your builder, your contractor, your designer, whoever it is that you're working with, who is GCing, general contracting your job, we call it GC in the industry. What you want to do is make sure that the materials that you are picking, that you have the timeline of supply and demand. We just now got a faucet in. We ordered this faucet back in February, So we weren't able to get out of a job because the faucet wasn't in yet. And you know what that means? You can't get your final payments, contractors. You know how it works. So for the homeowners, if you want a smooth running project, do your work, have a serious talk with your contractor, listen to what your contractor is telling you. If he's telling you he can't start for 3 to 6 months, that's okay. That's to your advantage. It's to your advantage because if you are ordering things like a bathtub, like shower fixtures, like plumbing fixtures, like a kitchen sink, porcelain sinks are always seem to be so hard to get, white fire clay or even some of the colored fire clay sinks that are out there, and porcelain sinks always seem to have a lead time because they do come from overseas. So you want to make sure that you are planning your project properly and that you know that all those products that you want to have your job done are ready and waiting in-house for the contractor. Now, the reason I say this as I drink my water is because contractors like to keep moving. They like to be busy. They don't like to have lull time. So if you have a job like we have had where we were waiting for the faucet, waiting for the faucet, waiting for the faucet, and waiting for the faucet, we had to go on and do other jobs with the promise to the client that as soon as that faucet came in, we were on it. And my husband Dale is there today and it's going in. Fortunately, it didn't delay their kitchen because we were kind enough to put a temporary faucet in there so that these people could still use their kitchen. And a good contractor will do this for you. They will put a temporary faucet, whether it's in the bathroom, whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's chrome thermostatic valves that you need in your bathroom. Trim, not the valves, but the trim, because you can always, it seems like the roughs are always there. But they can do something to keep your bathroom functional. Because this is what happens, and I want to be really clear. When contractors have to leave your job and pick up another job, usually they know in advance that there's going to be some type of delay. The communication with the homeowners is very simple. This is what's going on. This is what I'll do. But if your contractor goes and takes on a whole nother job, and he's gutting somebody else's kitchen, and your faucet comes in, if you haven't made it clear with him that you would like him to come and put that faucet in, or whatever that product is, whatever, a railing, whatever it is because of the materials, the contractor's not really going to think of you, and he's going to try to get finished on the job that he's in. Now, I know, and some contractors I know do this, where they will tell you, listen, I'm starting your job, but here's what's happening on another job, and I may have to leave for a day to be able to complete this job. Most clients will understand. So I just want to, it's a lot of information, but I just want to make it clear that this happens all the time in this industry. So if you, as the homeowner, can be better prepared, order your materials, have them in-house, whether you store them in the garage, whether the company that you're ordering them from can store them for you. You want to make sure that you have what you need or you have accurate timelines. Now, let me give you another example. We have doors, aluminum doors, that we ordered for our client. When did we order them? March. And then we were told that they were going to be in last week. So we called to find out what day we could pick them up. And now it's been delayed until July. Now, our clients don't want to hear that, even though they understand. But the benefit is we have kept them informed all along the way. This is what's going on with your job. We're expecting it this week. Now, we just got word on Friday that these doors that our client is expecting us to hopefully put in next week are not in yet. So now what this does is it juggles the whole schedule for the contractor because they want to get those doors in because they want to get paid. However, if they started on another job, there's going to be some delay in there. So communication is so key when you are working on your jobs. I can't tell you enough how clear the communication has to be between you and your contractor or your builder or whoever it is that is GCing the job for you. So with that being said, and that's so important, I just can't stress it enough. Communication is everything when it comes to home improvements. If you have a contractor that says they're not comfortable with something, or they try to talk you out of something that you want to do, unless they can give you a stellar reason why you shouldn't be doing something, then either you need another contractor or you need to find somebody who can do what you want done. Maybe it's a certain kind of tile that you picked in your bathroom and the contractor is not comfortable, or as a tile guy, he's not comfortable putting that tile in. If he's not comfortable and he tells you he's not comfortable, then that opens the door for you to find somebody, either somebody else or somebody who can do that part of the job. And I just found this with one of my clients who the contractor is not comfortable putting in a zero threshold shower. And a zero threshold means there's no lip, there's no 1-inch wall or 3-inch wall to get a wheelchair over. It's a shower that you can just flow right into. You can wheel a wheelchair in. If you have a walker, you don't have to lift your legs. And this is something that people that are aging in place are really looking at. And he said he wasn't comfortable doing it. There's no reason why this can't be done. So if he's not comfortable, we have to either talk to, he was going to do the tile, but maybe he's not the guy to do the tile if he can't do the linear drain, which is what we want in this bathroom, because we want a zero threshold. You want all the water to flow to one source, and this person can't do it. So now we're back to negotiations as far as what he can do, which means the whole job has to be renegotiated because the client changed their mind. Originally, they thought they wanted a bathtub. They changed their mind. They decided zero threshold. They wanted just a shower, not the tub. And the contractor's just not able to give them what they want. So we're back to the drawing board on that. Benefit, they have time. Benefit, they can order the products that they like. Now, because some of the lead times on some of their plumbing products or some of the products, I know their stone is in time. Their quartz is available, their tile is available, but other factors of what they want in their bathroom are not. So I'm just trying to let you know that these things happen all the time and expect these things to happen. Now, if there are changes to what you are doing and you've already been quoted and you've changed your mind about something, remember, there's going to be a change order. You have to go back to your contractor. You have to ask them if there's going to be a change in price. Maybe there's a change in price because you're doing something a little easier and you want the contractor to redo that pricing on that part of the job, or you're doing something that's a little more complicated. Make sure that every time there is a change, you are communicating in writing. Do not accept the verbal agreement, whether it's a quick email or a text message to say, hey, we are doing this. How's this going to change the timeline? Is the product available? You need a written record on both sides, both the contractor and the homeowner. So I just want to point that out, that needs to be taken care of. Put it in writing. Make sure you know a change order means that there's been changes to the original contract, and that has to be initialed or signed off by you. And your contractor should not be pulling any surprises. I know my husband just did a small deck. It should have been a simple small deck. But guess what? When he ripped up all the floorboards, the wood underneath was completely rotted. He had to replace the joists to keep all of that in place. He immediately let the homeowner know, listen, this is what's going on. This needs to be changed. This needs to be fixed. It's going to cost more time and more money. The homeowner was fine. Everything was good. And the job is now finished. So I just want to let you know that these are little things that happen all the time, every day on the job. So communication is key in the home improvement industry, whether it's renovations, whether it's fresh building, whether it's a complete gut of a kitchen, a bath, an addition, whatever it is that you're doing. In the meantime, I have just been talking, so I am going to take a quick commercial break, and let's hear from our sponsor, Monroe and Kent, and we will be right back with more of Home Improvement Fix and Facts.
There are no limits to unique and personal design styles. Monroe and Kent Home will help you expand your creative potential. Complimentary interior design services. Explore a universe of design possibilities. furniture, window treatments, and more. 30-day love it or return it guarantee. A free 5-year premium warranty on purchases of $1,500 or more. Monroe and Kent Home, where home happens.
Appointments are available at the new Monroe and Kent Design Studio in West Berlin, New Jersey, just minutes from Philadelphia. Book your design services today at monroeandkentinteriors.com or call 877-890-SOFA. That's 877-890-7632.
Hey, Wes, did you see all that chocolate I left on your desk this morning?
I did. What's the special occasion?
Well, the special occasion is I had a salted caramel candy bar, and I loved it so much that I called the company. It's called SkinnyDipped.com. Did you try that salted caramel candy bar?
Yeah, salted caramel dark chocolate, delicious.
Yeah.
Can't believe this is only 3 grams of sugar per serving. But what I really like about that fact is that it doesn't taste like artificial sweetener.
I know.
Which is something that I dislike about a lot of things that are marketed as less sugar.
And that's why when I got that candy bar, I thought I would just have a square or two, and I ended up eating the whole thing.
It's tough to stop.
The other thing that makes it really cool is that there are real non-GMO ingredients. So less calories, less net carbs. Hello.
They have so many different varieties, too. I'm on their website right now, skinnydipped.com. They have candy bars, nuts, peanut butter cups, variety packs. It's pretty much endless.
The reason why I wanted to share this with you, it says if you love us, tell the world. So I'm telling the world. Check them out at skinnydip.com. Check them out at one of your local markets. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. And we are back. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway here at WWDB every Tuesday from 8 to 9. And on the internet, you can listen to any of the podcasts. And yes, we have built this city, and building your home is like building a city. There's so much that goes into it. People just don't realize. And remember, if you have questions, my resources, my contacts are very broad and very deep. So if you ever have a question about anything that you are doing along the line, whether it's getting materials, whether where's the best place to buy, who would you recommend? How do I find an electrician? Where's the plumber? Hey, can you recommend an architect? Yes, I can help you with all of that. I have so many amazing resources. And when it comes to resources, I also have amazing contacts with vendors that I have dealt with over the past 15 years. So if you're looking for particular products, you're trying to save money, you're trying to budget, you want to go super high end, I have that information. I know it. I can point you in the right direction. I can give you the questions to ask. So don't be afraid to reach out to me here at WWDB or on my Instagram or Facebook page at Home Improvement Fixer Facts. Remember, the lines are always open at 888-329-3306. So even though we have a show here called The Bloomers, I forget when they're on. They used to be on Saturday. I'm not even sure. But anyway, I do get questions about gardening because part of home improvements is taking care of the outside, hardscape and softscape as well. For those of you that don't understand the difference between hardscape and softscape, hardscape is when you are doing physical walls, decks, brickwork, patio work, concrete work on the outside. Anything like that is considered hardscape. Softscape is more dealing with plants and trees and gardening and lawn keeping. That's the best way to do it. So I got a question from Carly Rodriguez, who said, we have really super hot weather coming up and I have a beautiful garden, but when is the best time to water my plants so I don't ruin everything I've done and my hard work? Okay, so we're gonna tackle that today. We're gonna talk about seven things that we can do, seven hot weather watering tips to help you survive the heat wave. Like, how hot is too hot, and can you burn your plants? Yes, you can. And summer is rolling around. Remember, we didn't really have spring this year. We had winter, rain. Now we're going into summer. We didn't really have spring because I don't even think we had a full week of sunshine. We may get it this week. So when summer rolls around, which is literally just around the corner, it's important to use good irrigation techniques that also conserve water. So we're going to go over some of those tips. But to answer your question, Carly, in the hot weather, you need to water your plants in the morning when it's cooler, preferably between like 6 and 10 o'clock. The more you allow the water to reach the root systems before the heat evaporates, the water before the heat of the day is just sweltering, is the best time to do it. There's other, if you can't water your plants early in the morning, if it means getting up 15 minutes earlier, half an hour earlier, I highly advise it, because if you do it at night, you can water your plants late in the evening, you know, before you go to bed. In the dark, who wants to do that? Not me. But you can, or even at dusk. And I'll tell you why it's not a good idea. So, Carly, if you can get yourself up a little bit earlier, the early morning where there's still dew on the ground, there's still moisture on the ground, is the best time to water your plants. Morning watering is so much preferable to evening because the plants have time to dry when the sun goes down. This is why, and I have seen this happen in my own garden, that you don't necessarily want to water at night. Night watering tends to sit in the soil, and it tends to sit around the roots. And what happens is it sits on the foliage. It doesn't evaporate. The sun is gone. Even if it's really hot, it still gets kind of dewy through the night. And what that does is when you water late at night or later in the evening, it encourages rot to your plants, fungal growth, and it definitely causes insects. Plus, it makes those plants really succulent for the little buggers, you know, the chipmunks and the squirrels and everybody else that wants to eat your plants. Then I have a little tip for that one too. So when the temperatures climb higher than 100 degrees Fahrenheit, you should water frequently. You should water to a depth of 1 inch if you can. And if your area isn't getting natural precipitation, you know, those nice dewy mornings, you may need to water with a hose or a sprinkler on a daily basis. Otherwise, if that is all good for you, you can water 2 to 3 times a week. If you've just done new plantings, I would suggest that you water them pretty regularly, especially in this heat. Now, when should you not water your plants? Like I said, at night. The water, to give water plants as at night is just not the best thing to do. But if it's the only thing that you can do, by all means do it. You might want to be a little bit more limited. You might not want to drench your plants quite so much. So what is too hot, Carly? You know, you're talking about the heat. What is too hot for plants? The general answer for plantings and gardening, because we've all just spent time doing this, is 90 degrees Fahrenheit, with some exceptions to the rule. What this means is when temperatures rise above 90 degrees and remain that way for a lengthy amount of time, your leaves will wilt and they will burn. So you have to take precautions to keep your plants alive in this humid weather and hot weather that we're going to be getting. So, how do you survive the heat wave? What are some things that you can do to make it easy? A lot of it depends on where you live and what you plant. And if you're not sure, there are guides out there. You can easily pull them up online to find out what our area is. You know, they range from, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're called zones. So you can look up the zone for the area that where you live. Carly, I didn't see where you lived. So you can always send me another message. You can easily adjust your water pattern for your plants so that you're not overly spraying them. You're not spraying them too hard. You can use like the really cool like fan spray, which really gives you a broad range of water than just a standard spray on your hose. I mean, I think that's really important that you make sure that you do something like that. So time for watering, like I said, is morning or late afternoon. It's the best time between in the summer, between the hours of 6 and 10, before the heat sets in, gives your plants plenty of time to drink up the water, and any moisture that is on the leaves will dry off before the heat of the sun comes and burns the leaves, and certainly before nightfall. If it's not possible, the next best time is 7. Are you bored? Am I keeping you awake over there? That was a big yawn.
You know me. I'm not a morning person.
I know.
If that's it's before 10 a.m., I'm only half here.
That's why I love that you're here with me anyway and you contribute. But that was a big yawn.
That was a normal size yawn.
Partying weekend?
I just don't have enough oxygen in my brain, you know.
Okay, so the next best possible time is between the hours of 4 to 7, if you possibly can, unless you live in a really acrid climate. Really try to avoid overnight. Like I said, it causes fungus, bacteria, slugs and snails love to come out, so bugs, earwigs, all kinds of pets. If you do have slugs, this is not to waste your beer. I'm just letting you know, Wes, you don't want to waste beer. But if you pour a little bit of beer in a pan and leave it in the corner of your garden, slugs are drawn to beer. And they crawl in, and they get drunk, and they die.
I hear slugs love a nice hoppy IPA on a hot summer
there
day.
You go. I don't know if I want to waste my hoppy IPA. I think I want to do my Miller Lite.
Yeah, that's a good point. They appreciate it, though. They're beer snobs.
Yes, they are. Perfectly good beer snobs. Beer snobs. Speaking of beer, and I've given you this tip before many times on my show, any leftover beer that you have from a party, gather it all up. And if you have a septic system, dump it down your septic system. Make sure you dump it all down your drain. The yeast in the beer helps keep your septic system percolating properly. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Luckily for me, I don't have a septic system because I don't ever have leftover beer.
But it is a good way. I mean, we have like in our fridge, we have a few cans of like Bud and Miller because people like that. But we call it skunk beer. So that's the stuff that gets poured down the drain. And if you don't have that, you can use a package of like Fleischmann's yeast. Believe it or not, it works. Or whatever kind of yeast you have. So sunburn on plants, which often appears as bleached areas on foliage of like your young transplanted plants or your heat sensitive plants, your distressed plants and underwater, they can get sunburn. And it's caused by simple exposure to sun, not by the water droplets that supposedly magnify the sun and scorch the leaves. Nope, that's not what causes it. They actually do get sunburn. There are good reasons for not watering in the middle of the day under the blazing sun, but leaf scorch is not one of them. In the morning, the air, the soil are cooler. It causes, which minimizes evaporation, the lack of wind, which means you avoid wasting water to any kind of wind drifts, windy area. We live on the top of the hill. The wind is freaking amazing where we are. So that is definitely an issue. And plants absorb better if they're not under heat stress. Under heat stress, a condition that's more likely to occur when the sun is at its peak. Yes, I read that off my computer. And just like people get heat stroke, which is why we're going to talk about first aid next week, home improvement first aid, as well as just first aid for you and your kids. It's perfectly okay to water plants while they're out in full sun, but it's not the most efficient way to do it. Water your plants well and water them deeply. Like I said, a good inch of water, constantly doing it. Just like people, plants are, they hear, they listen to music. They need hydration, just like we do in excessive heat. And it's especially true if you have containers, outdoor container gardening, as well as new plantings that really haven't established their roots yet. Really, really important plant containers, particularly those in small pots, fabric pots, clay pots, basket lined with the cocoa fibers or peat moss are very susceptible to drying out than when they're in the ground. So you need to be really careful about keeping these things watered. And even if you have to do it three times a day, even if you have to do it really early in the morning, then you do it again before you leave and maybe a little bit at night. So a good rule of thumb for containers is the first 2 inches of potting soil. When that first 2 inches feels dry, stick your finger in there, then you know that it's well watered. So if you dig a little hole, you go down 2 inches, the soil is still kind of moist, then you're good. The smaller the container, the more porous the container, the more you have to water it. So, Carly, I'm giving you so much information today. Both perennials and annuals, plants benefit from a good soaking at least 3 times a week, allowing the water to penetrate. And infrequent soakings are better than frequent light sprinklings. So aim to water the right amount where it's needed at the root zone of your plants to reduce the chances of runoff and evaporation. So those are a couple things that you need to know. Be really heat stress plants are also more prone to aphids, which can be controlled by a sharp blast of water, like the jet of your nozzle, of your hose. So be careful with that. Using drip irrigation and soaker hoses are really cool. There's a great place for them in the garden and manual watering of the yard, especially for newly seeded beds, young seedlings, temperamental plantings. They're all affected by the crazy heat wave. So if you want to make sure that your plants receive consistent moisture throughout the summer, the best way is to water them with drip irrigation or soaker hoses. I love those. I had them at my old house. I didn't use them all the time. I should have. But you can put them on a timer, and you can also get them with a rain sensor. So you can set the timer to automatically do it for you for like an hour in the morning. And then you don't have to worry about your plants. And if it has a rain sensor on it, it's going to know that it rained and it doesn't need to work as hard because everything's already wet. If you're still hand watering everything and you have a really big garden, it's worth installing a drip irrigation system or a soaker hose. It takes some of the workload off of you. You can use a combination of both, and it just makes it really lovely for your gardens to be really beautiful and producing flowers. Plants that like humid areas like bananas, ferns, ginger, hibiscus, elephant ears should be misted frequently during dry, hot periods. The flowers or the soft wash settings of the nozzle are perfect for giving you a very delicate, gentle, uniform spray because they do love moisture, but they also do very well in the heat. Shield heat-sensitive plants from excessive sun if you can. A heat wave is hardest on new transplants that haven't had the time to develop their strong roots. So really give them some extra care. And I will tell you, the critters love them. So if you can take some paper cups or some plastic cups and cut some holes in it and put them over top of those plants while they're getting settled to keep the critters away from them. That's a great way to start. Or a piece of nylon or something, a little bit of chicken wire around those plants to keep them from getting them. A little tip that I thought that I gave you like a week or two ago is when you're putting new bulbs in the ground, whether it's dahlias or irises or whatever it is, if you do go to the dollar store, I did talk about this, it's now the $1.25 store, and get yourself some Epsom salts. And when you're putting your cow manure and your potting soil in the bottom of the hole, most of them go about 4 inches down, put about a tablespoon of Epsom salts at the bottom of that. And those little critters, those little chipmunks, will stop eating the bulbs of your plants. Very important, Carly, for your beautiful garden, because you said you have a beautiful garden, don't fertilize during a heat wave. Very high soil temperatures above 85 degrees can cause plants to go semi-dormant, and they may use fewer nutrients while they're in survival mode and they're not prepared to do what they need to do. So if you fertilize plants while they're stressed, it can damage them. So withhold your fertilizers, or if you really feel that you have to fertilize your plants, make the solution or whatever you're using a weaker solution. Mix it with water until the weather cools off a little bit. And let me get this in here. Keep the ground as moist as possible. And along with the critters, some other things that you can do. Now, you're going to have to do this occasionally around your areas. I have deer, chipmunks. What else? Groundhogs. They just eat my lilies. If you have cayenne pepper, again, the $1.25 store is a great place to go get a couple bottles of cayenne pepper. And if you pepper spray around your plants, it will keep the critters away. They don't like the taste of it, and it'll keep them from eating. It won't harm the plants at all, but it'll keep them from eating the plants. And another thing that you can do around your garden is vinegar. If you just spray vinegar, I told you this before, it will kill the plants if you get it on the plants, but you can spray it on the outskirts of the plants to kill the weeds and sometimes some of the critters that are there. And one last thing that I want to remind you about is if you are mulching your garden, make sure that you do about 2 to 3 inches of mulch on top of the soil, being careful not to pile it up around the base of your plants because it can hold too much moisture and cause the stems to be weak and start to rot. So these are a couple things during intense weather. Don't be afraid to layer it up. You can even layer it up to 4 inches of mulch if you want to. Just be careful not to pile it up like we usually do around the base of the plant. So, and you can usually tell when your plants are distressed. I know my chaufferilla, if I water it too much, leaves turn yellow. That's usually a sign of overwatering, just so you know. I usually bring a lot of my plants outside, and I have to be really careful because I know how good they do in the house. They have their spots. You know, we all try to grow our plants, and we all like our indoor plants, but like many of us, when they get really big, we'd like to move them outside. And you can tell when they're getting too much water. And if you think that there's a possibility that with the rain, if we're getting heavy duty rain, that any of your plants that are in containers outside are going to get too much water, put them under your umbrella or move them under the eaves of your deck or wherever you can move them so that they don't get too much water. And remember, don't prune until the fall, because you're going to cause all those beautiful flowers not to come in the way they should. So those are all important tips that you can do for your house. Now, to change note, couple minutes, switching gears. I told you this was a mishmash of all kinds of information on today's show. I just wanted to share a little story over the weekend. Oh, my goodness. So when I've installed shower doors for clients that are doing complete remodels and things like that, I always have a glass company do it. I always have a shower door company come in and put them in for my client. It's usually, if you get it from the beginning, it's a new install. It costs a little bit more than having the contractor in to do it, but it definitely protects your purchase because if you have the glass company or the shower door company come in and something goes wrong, they're responsible. One thing I will let you know in changing topics here, that a shower door install will not work and they will not come out and install in your bathroom until the whole shower area is completely done. Now, we had a little debacle, for lack of a better word, where my mom's shower glass broke in her bathroom, shattered, and no idea how it was done. Now, she's like, oh, maybe it wasn't good glass. No, shower door glass is made to stand impact and hitting. So, you know, we asked her, did you fall against it? Did you use it to lean up on, catch yourself falling? Did it get hit? She has no clue. So time was of the essence and trying to get it done as quickly as we could. And, you know, when you're a little bit elderly, you don't always have the extra money to spend, you know, to go spend $2,000 to have a glass company put the glass in the doors and do the things that you need to do. So my good, kind-hearted husband went to the big box store and bought a shower for her. It's a beautiful shower. But you should have heard what came out of his mouth when he opened the box. There must have been 100 pieces in there. It was an all-day affair. So I want to make it clear to you, everybody out there, if you have to do a door replacement, yes, I understand that's probably the best way to do it. My mother had a surround in her bathroom that's much shorter than the average one that you would see in a bathroom. And her previous doors were installed actually a little bit above the surround. So that became the next problem because you don't find heights as short as what her surround was. There were already previously drilled holes, so we had to take that into consideration, removing all the old caulk, the broken glass, the frame, and everything else. But, oh my, the words that spewed from my husband's mouth when he opened the big box store box of shower doors. Now, there is a difference in quality, like everything else. We know my mom's going to be selling her townhouse soon. She's going to move into a more mature 55 and older community that it addresses wellness and things like that, not where she is now. And so the suggestion to her was don't spend $2,000 putting new shower door glass in, because I truly believe somebody's going to come in there and gut the bathroom and do what they want anyway. So we put the shower doors in. It didn't cost her. It was under $1,000 for, you know, everything that we had to do. But it was an all-day project. It was an eight-hour project because there were so many bits and pieces, and the directions are not good. They show you pictures. They show you pieces, but they don't really explain how things go. Fortunately, it is done. She will be able to use it today after all the caulk is dry. So I hope that's good for you, Mom. But what a chore. So remember, you have to weigh the differences with what you're doing. If you have somebody like my mom who's a little bit more budgeted, then that was the perfect way to do it. Although, and I helped my husband. That box was 140 pounds of glass. It was heavy. But it was the right thing to do for her. But if you are in a position where you don't have 8 hours, you don't have all this time to wait, hire a glass company or a door company. I can help you with that to come in and do what needs to be done. And sometimes they don't even want to come in and retrofit what's already there. So, and that's another issue because an average size shower, shower surround, alcove tub area is 60 inches, 59 to 60 inches. How about a tub surround? Now, the alcove itself at one time was probably 60 inches, but her shower door with what the builders put in there was 55 and a half inches. Such a weird friggin' measurement, but yet the wall above it was like 59. I don't remember what my husband said. So it becomes a big chore. So you really have to weigh the pros and cons of everything that you are going to be doing when it comes to these crises that arise, like shower doors that break. Now, they're not designed to break, but if you hit it the wrong way or you fall against it, yes, it will certainly break. But I will tell you, it was not fun. My husband is so lighthearted. And I know when to stay away and when to interject. And he was going back and forth, and I could see the grumble on his face because of all the pieces that he had to put together. And when I looked at it, I was like, what the crap is going on here? Again, here's the difference. And I recommend this with things that, not lumber necessarily, although we like lumber yards better, not drywall, things like that. But when it comes to plumbing fixtures, when it comes to shower doors, when it comes to kitchen sink fixtures, there is a difference in quality between a plumbing supply house like Grove Supply, one of my favorite places to go to. I love them. Shout out to my guy, Rob, over there. He's amazing. But there is a difference in the quality that you get at the big box store versus a plumbing supply house. Let me give you an example. There was a lot of plastic pieces on the shower door. Silly things like knobs that go on top of covering the wheels because she had almost a frameless. That's what we could get. It's what was available. At the store in an emergency, no time to order and wait 3 weeks for a shower door to come in. But all the little things that make your shower doors look pretty, they look pretty, but they were chrome. Chrome is okay because I know spouts in bathrooms are usually plastic and they're plated in such a way that they have a lifetime warranty on them. But there was a lot of flimsy pieces in here and a lot of things that if we had gone through other resources to get it, the shower door probably would have cost about $200 to $300 more. But we know that the quality would have been better. So this is where it's wise for you as the homeowner to decide. In mom's case, we know she's moving, and maybe she's moving before the end of the year, which we're all hoping for, to get her settled before while the weather is still nice. But if you're moving, you don't have to do the good quality because the chances of the next homeowner coming in and ripping out what you did is most likely going to happen. If you're flipping a house, a lot of people that flip houses put cheaper, lesser quality stuff in. I know my sister's has been looking at contractors. And one of the guys commented that he buys all his stuff at Home Depot, it was an immediate decision not to use that contractor. And I agree. I don't want a contractor who's buying all my materials from Home Depot unless I am super budgeted. I can't afford to do what I need to do, and that's the only thing that I can get because the quality doesn't endure. If this is a forever home, don't be cheap. And the other thing with that being said is you pay for what you get in a lot of circumstances. If you're flipping a home and you know your home that you are getting ready to purchase has been flipped, I guarantee you it is not top quality work unless you're in a really high-end area like Society Hill in Philadelphia or Chestnut Hill or, you know, something like that. But these builders that are popping up all these townhomes and townhouses, you know, I don't care who you are, what building company, whether you're Ryan or whoever you are out there, Toll Brothers, I'm not a fan, by the way, of their stuff. But look at what you're getting because you're usually going to get builder grade and a lesser grade quality and a really tiny short tub. So be proactive with everything that you're doing that's going on in your house. So next week we'll be back with Home Improvement First Aid, and we're going to be talking to Justin Schaefer, Mr. Fantastic, about what's been happening with our kids in the Philadelphia market and some of their home improvement inventions. And we'll be back next week, same place, same time. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll keep you posted on when that interview is going to happen with our NAHB and our politician. Thanks for listening. There ain't nothing wrong with this old house.